The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Be'at, Aflam and Chesim and Beis, the Gemara says, Habarer Troros Migarno Shel Chavero, one who removes Troros, pebbles, or rocks from the Goren, the granary, the piles of grain of another, Chayav L'Shalom L'Dmei Chitim. He's considered a mazik, he has to pay the value of chitim, in other words, the volume of the rocks that he removed. Had that volume been chitim, he has to pay that value to the owner of the grain. Very paradoxical and unusual halacha. He actually purified the nizak's chitim by removing rocks, removing inedible, worthless rocks, and you'd think he did him a favor. The halacha is, on the contrary, he is considered a mazik. The poskim explain, because the halacha is that a seller is allowed to sell grain with a certain amount of psoles, of worthless stuff, below a certain normal range, that's okay. So before, he was able to sell the entire pile of chitim as though it was all chitim, even though there's actually some rocks in between. Now that he removed the rocks, the total volume is less. He's not allowed to add the rocks back in. He's only allowed to sell tefuah with a certain amount of rocks that were organically there, but he can't add rocks that were already removed. Rosh Baal and Baba Basra says he can't do that for two reasons. First of all, that would be called osa avla biyadayim, uchsev lo sasu avel. Apparently selling it with rocks inside is not an avla. Putting rocks in, that's an avla. V'gam lokech lo machil el mashinas ara me'atmo. The reason you're allowed to do this is because the buyer accepts that there can be a certain amount of rocks, and he only accepts rocks that were there naturally. He doesn't accept rocks that were artificially inserted by the seller, even if those rocks had been there originally and were unfortunately taken out by someone else. In any event, though, that's called a mazik, because he could have made more profit by selling the chitim with the rocks inside. Before he had 10 pounds of chitim, now he only has 9.5, so he gets less revenue. So the person who removed the rock is called a mazik. The Ritva in Baba Basra makes the very reasonable point. This is only if these chitim were commercial chitim, they were supposed to be sold. If they were for personal consumption, then on the contrary, he did him a favor. He purified the chitim. They're not worth anything less because they're more pure. He can add the rocks back in if he really likes rocks in his chitim. In any event, the Gemara only makes sense if we're talking about chitim that are supposed to be sold. Now, the Baal HaTosis and the other Rishonim in Baba Basra bring two fundamental disputes about how to understand this din. Both of them have to do with the question of whether this din is l'kuli alma or whether this din is toloi in a machlokas tanan. One question is this real hezek, hezek gomer, or is this dina degarmi? Grama, indirect hezek, but the sort of hezek that you chayev according to a mayor who's done dina degarmi. So the Rashbam brings two pshatim about this. One pshat, he says, is it is only, it's real hezek, he says, that, he says, hezek be a daim hu, sh'osin tzroros ha'ylo shavin k'mo chitim, these tzroros that are embedded in the wheat were worth as much as wheat, so you're, it's hezek be a daim, real hezek. Then he backtracks and he says, inami lo chashiv le hezek gomer, maybe it's not real hezek, because the rocks themselves are not really worth anything, maybe it's only dina degarmi. The Rush goes this way. The Rush says, the Barer Trar, the person who removed the Trar, he's a mazik, it's only Dina de Garmi, because he shavak lu'av mizavni agav chiti. Had he left them inside, he could have sold them, so that's a form of Dina de Garmi. The Nmuki Yosef seems to contradict himself or change his mind. He begins his comments on the sugi by saying that he's a garim lo nezek. He's only a garim, and he's chayev because we paskin like Rameir to don Dina de Garmi. But then he has a more detailed explanation, and he concludes by saying, even if you don't hold of Garmi, like the first Shem, the Rashbam, you're chayev without Garmi, it's considered mazik gomer. As we shall see, a couple of Achronim, Divrei Malkiel, Imrei Bina, both tell us that the Ikar in the poskim is, most Rishonim say that it's Dina de Garmi, although not sure exactly which Rishonim they have in mind. Rashbam brings two pshatim, Muki Yosef contradicts himself, and the Rush says, Dina Degarmi. Now, we actually paskin, according to virtually all poskim, that we do paskin, don Dina Degarmi, that you're chayev, so it would seem like a moot point, whether you're chayev because of Hezek Gomer or Dina Degarmi, but as we shall see, there are actually certain important nafkaminas, between whether the chiyuv is mazik mamish, real mazik, or dina degarmi. Another machlokus involves machlokus rishonim, involves machlokus tanoim, a different machlokus tanoim. Machlokus between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon about davar agar lamamon. Davar agar lamamon is a principle very similar to garmi. As a matter of fact, the Shach brings an opinion of the Baal Trumas, which he understands to mean it's actually the same machlokus. But the Pasha says it's a different machlokus, although it sounds very similar. Machlokus is, if there is property, which is garin lamamon, it's not actually worth anything, but it enables the possessor of the property to save money somewhere else. For example, someone steals chametz, and now it's chametz sh'avar alav ha-pesach, so it's not worth anything. But as long as the chametz is be'en, he can tell the nigzal, he can make restitution and say, Reish l'chol l'fanecha. If the chametz is destroyed, he can no longer do that. Now he has to pay cash. So keeping this chametz intact means a lot to him, because he saves himself paying real cash. So if someone else now goes and is mazik the chametz, and the gazlan says, what did you do? Now I have to pay cash for the chametz. That's called davar agar lamamon. Rav Shimon says chayev, and the rabbanon say pater. Well, another example is kachim shechayev bachar yusan. A person has kachim, which may not be considered his property, but if he said harei alai ola, and he's chayev bachrayas, if anything happens to the ola, if the ola gets destroyed, he'll have to bring a different animal. That's also garan lamamon. It's machlokes Rav Shimon and the rabbanon. This is much less clear how we paskin. Pashas we paskin davar agar lamamon lavkamamon dami, like the chachamim. It's different from dina degarmi. But in any event, Tosis brings two pshatim as to whether the din of Barer Trar is dependent on the machlokus of Davar Agar Lamamon. He brings the Rivam, who says that this Gemara is only Lefir of Shimon, which might very well mean we don't pass him like this Gemara. Then he brings the Ri, who says that even according to the Rabbanan, this is better than Davar Agar Lamamon. Why? Because there, the Chametz after Pesach is not worth anything to anybody. It has no normal value in the marketplace. Most people wouldn't pay anything for it. You, the gazlan, due to your peculiar circumstances, for you it's worth a lot of money. So that's garin lamamon, but it has no general market value. The chitim, the rocks in the chitim, it has value. You can buy it, you can sell it. Anyone can buy and sell these chitim, including rocks, for the full price of chitim. So these chitim, which have a going market rate, at least insofar as they're embedded, the trur, at least insofar as it's embedded in the chitim, has a going market rate of the value of chitim, that's better than davar garin lamamon. Now again, the Pasha says we paskin that davar agar lamamon lav kamamon dummy, in which case, according to the Rivam, that this din of Barer Trar is dependent on that machlokas, it would very likely be that we don't paskin like this. Lahalacha, though, it is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, and the poskim all assume that this din is lahalacha, which presumably means that they don't paskin like the Rivam, that they paskin that this din is not dependent on the machlokas of davar agar lamamon kamamon dummy. Ritzvan the Mukhi Yosef also explain, like the Ri, that this din is not totally on the machlokas of davar agar lamamon. And they explain, similar to Tosis, that a davar agar lamamon means it's not worth anything to anybody in the general market except you for a special reason. However, they say, since these chitim are, these rocks in the chitim are worth money, they can be bought and sold as chitim, nimkar b'makom chitim, harei shava mamon. And they make a very interesting analogy. They say, offer hanimkar b'mamon, if you have earth, dirt, which is inherently worthless, but it is sold for cash, kagon afrazav, who, like the ore that has gold in it. I think when you pay for the gold ore, you're really paying for the gold, but they say that the rocks in the chitim, which are typically based on standard commercial custom, are sold as chitim. They're like afrazav, they're like gold ore, they're earth, which is very valuable. And it's not totally, therefore, in the machlokas of davar agar lamamon kamamon dami. This is the confusion in Mukhi Yosef. If he begins by saying that it's don dina degarmi, then he asks this question of davar agar lamamon, and he says it's different because of the svara. It's like afra zav, it's like goldor. And then he says, yichayev, even according to the man damar, that's not don dina degarmi. So he started off by saying that it's garmi, then he said it's better than garin lamamon, and he ended up by saying it's not garmi. So I'm not sure if somehow after he's machadish that it's not garin lamamon, he also understood that it's not even garmi, it's better than garmi. But either way, we have here in these various shittas of the Rishonim two opinions as to whether it is considered davar agar lamamon or is better than that. It's not tully on the machlokas. Similarly, we have two shittas as to whether it's tully on the machlokas of don dina degarmi or whether it's real hazik and it's not tully in that machlokas. Now, many of us likely will never see a garin in our life, but I once heard, as far as I recall, from Yisrael Reisman that one can really run into a similar situation in the grocery store. Let's say you're buying loose nuts. You scoop a bunch out of a bin, you put them in a bag, you weigh them, and you pay a per pound rate. Now, sometimes there are loose shells floating around in the nuts. If you carefully select only the nuts and you discard all the empty shells, you're therefore paying a lower rate per pound of actual nuts than you otherwise would, and you're leaving the store with a higher concentration of shells in his nuts. That could be, Rabbi Reisman explains, Barer Tzrar Migarnas Shel Chaveru. That's not fair. You're a mazik by doing that, even though it's, in that case it's for your self-interest, you're not doing it out of spite. Nevertheless, if you're a mazik, you're a mazik. And therefore, that would be us. The remainder of this lecture, I would like to discuss several applications of the achronim of the principle of Davar Gar L'Mamon well beyond the actual question of garen or of nuts or of actual produce, some interesting applications of this principle to several other scenarios, several other important halach l'maisa scenarios where the poskim try to deduce from the principle of Barer Tzrar Migarnas Shel Chaveru a din of mazik. The Divrei Malkiel talked about a case of Reuven and Shimon exchange money. One gave a 25 ruble coin for a small change. And there was a question about the 25 ruble coin. It might not have been good. It seems it wasn't a shail of counterfeit. It was just a question of the government had voided the old currency and you weren't allowed to use it anymore. So they were aware it might be a problem at the time. So the one who gave it just said, Reuven said, look, you don't like this coin, you think it's a problem, try it, take it, see if it passes, see if people will take it. If it's a problem, then just give it back to me. And I'll give you, you have my address, and I'll give you a proper coin. Shimon sent it to the bank. The bank confiscated it. The bank says this is an invalid coin, it's currently outlawed, and therefore we are not honoring your deposit, and we're not giving you back the coin. So Shimon went back to Reuven and said, okay, the coin was bad, give me a different coin. Reuven says, wait a second, if you want me to give you a different coin, I need that coin back, because I know that I got that coin from a certain person, a certain non-Jew, and he's not going to give me back a different coin unless I can prove to him, I can present this coin to him and say, look, it's bad. As long as I don't have that coin, I'm out of luck with getting my money back from the non-Jew. So if you want your money back, bring me back the coin. So Divrei Malkiel says, L'chara, that is a very good argument, that even though the coin itself is worthless, because you can't do anything with this coin anymore, at this point the coin is outlawed, the banks don't take it, the stores won't take it, and it has no shavius. Nevertheless, he says, Barer Tzrar. A Tzrar is also worthless. Rocks are worthless, but nevertheless, if they have value, if they can be exchanged for cash, then they're valuable. So here too, he says, Reuven can say, for me, this coin is valuable. I can give it back to my non-Jew, and he'll give me cash for it. So that's like Barer Tzrar Migarnas Shel Chaveru. Now, one could argue that since the Rishonim said that the reason Barer Tzrar is better than Davar Gar L'Mamon is because Davar Gar L'Mamon is only value to you specifically, but Barer Tzrar is general value to buy and sell on the open market, this case of the coin had no value on the general market. It was only Reuven, who knew he received it from a certain person, could use it to get his money back. We could argue that's like the case of Chamash Avar al HaPesach, which depends on the Machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbanan. And Lahalacha, we probably don't pass it like Reb Shimon. For some reason, the Divrei Malkiel doesn't get into this. He just assumes that his case of the bad money, which could be redeemed for good money from the guy who gave it to him, is like Barer Tzrar. And therefore, he says, Lachara, you would be Chayiv. But nevertheless, he concludes for other reasons that he is Potter. He says, first of all, he says that the Iker rationale for Barer Tzrar is Dina de Garmi, not Mazik Gomer. And Dina de Garmi has certain restrictions. Two limitations, both of which would vitiate its application in this case. First, he says you need Bari Hezekah. The Rishonim say that if you want to be Chaya for Garmi, for Garim Hezek, it has to be Bari Hezekah. The Hezek has to be a certainty. Here he says, we don't really know if giving the coin back would have really helped Reuven, because maybe the non-Jew wouldn't believe Reuven that this was the coin he gave him. The non-Jew apparently had claimed that he gave a good coin. So if Reuven presented him with a bad coin, he would have said, okay, this must not be the one I gave you. So who said that giving the coin back to Reuven would have helped him get his money back from the non-Jew? So we can't really say for a certainty that Shimon's action of losing the coin caused Reuven any harm. Also, he says, it's not really Shimon's fault. Shimon didn't know that the bank would seize it and refuse to return it. How did he know that? So he's a shogeg. And even though we say adam mod la'olam, when it comes to real hazik, we say ignorance, an error, a shogeg is not a defense. You're chayev even for shogeg. Shogeg kamezit, ones karatzon. When it comes to garmi, there are poskim, the shach, who says garmi b'shogeg is potter. V'chein tafsu acharim l'halacha. Divrei Malkiel says that acharim take this view as normative, that garmi b'shogeg is potter. Therefore, for these two reasons, there's not bari hazeka. We can't say with a certainty that Shimon's action harmed Ruvain, and B, he's only a shogeg. Since, therefore, he goes like the second shot of the Rashbam and the Rosh and the Havmir of the Muki Yosef, that Borer Tzor is because of Garmi, Garmi wouldn't apply in this case for these two reasons. Another case in which the poskim invoke the Gemara of Borer Tzor Migarna Shel Chavero is a major machlokes achronim. Let's say someone has a behemoth. Reuven has a behemah. Shimon comes along and kills that behemah. Subsequently, we do an autopsy on the behemah, and it turns out to be a trefa. Now, a trefa certainly wouldn't have been kosher. Said he shechted it, we couldn't eat it. And even to keep the behemah around for plowing, l'radia, a trefa is not healthy. It's going to die, it's not healthy. So it's not worth very much, even for radia, the Nesiva says. So the Mazik says, I'm not going to pay you very much for this behemoth. I'll pay you what a trefa was worth. I'm not going to pay you the value of a normal, healthy behemoth. It turned out it was a trefa. I didn't know that when I did it, but you didn't know that. Nobody knew that, but now we know that. So we gloy milsel mafreya. The behemoth I damaged was not a healthy behemoth. It was only a trefa. Therefore, I don't want to pay you the value of a healthy behemoth. On the other hand, the Nizik says, while it was alive, we didn't know the status. I could have sold the behemoth. Anyone would have given me full price, and people buy with understanding that there are no returns, even if it's a trefa, they don't always check, and even if they do, perhaps in certain cases, the sales were done in such a way that they were final, even if a trefa was found. So I could have gotten full price for it. Nesiva says that you are potter. Since it turns out the behemoth was a trefa and was not really worth very much, therefore you're not entitled to collect the full value of the full value of the behemoth from the mazik. And this is really also the sheet of the drisha. Both the drisha and the nesivas are coming to answer a kasha on a rush. The Torah brings a chuvus to rush, a person, a butcher, someone had an animal. He was afraid to shecht it. He was worried what would happen if it would be a trefa. So a customer made him a deal. A customer said, don't worry. I'll pay you, I'll indemnify you against loss, I'll agree to pay you a certain amount, even in the event of loss. So, okay, he relied on this promise, the butcher shechted the animal, it turned out it was a trefa. The customer decided to renege, not keep his word, said, no, I don't want to pay you if it's a trefa. So the rush says, okay, he's within his rights, since there was no kinyan, he's not bound by the contract, and he can walk away. So the achronim ask, the Beis Yosef, the Mishnah Melech, Rav Ozer on the Shulchan Aruch, Ketos, the Nesivos, they all ask, good, so there was no kinyan, so he's not bound by his contract. But first of all, there's a din of arev, just like a cosigner on a loan who induces the lender to release the money, he's then responsible to make sure the lender stays whole and gets his money back. And so too, there's a principle of arvus. If I told the butcher who didn't want to shecht it, and I'll make sure that you're covered financially, I'm rechayev as an arev, you don't even need a kinyan. Also, the achronim ask, the ktos and others, garmi, I was gurim that you had this loss. You were not planning on shechting it. I caused you to have the loss. I induced you by giving you a backstop, by giving you a commitment. I induced you to shecht it. So I'm a mazik. So both because of arvus and because of garmi, various poskim ask one or the other or both these questions. Good, there was no kinyan in the rush's case. But why aren't you chayev either as an arev or as a mazik? So the drisha, who was dealing with the arvus question, the nesivas, who was dealing with both questions, they say, you know why there's no arvus and no garmi? Because it turned out the animal wasn't worth anything. It turned out it was a trefa, so it wasn't really worth anything. So you're right, you did a bad thing, but the behemoth turned out not to be worth anything anyway, so you're not chayiv. Now, as the Gedulei Hekdesh points out, the earlier Achronim who asked this kasha didn't hold like this. They felt there should be a din mazik, there should be a din arvus. They did not hold like the nesivas. And indeed, numerous later Achronim, post-nesivas, explicitly reject the nesivas. And one of the main arguments they bring is the argument from the Gemara of Barer Tzor. The Marsham, briefly, Marsham says, even though the Nesiva says that if an animal turns out to be a trefa, the mazik is not chaya for the value of a normal animal, he says from the sugya of Barer Tzor, and specifically the way the Muki Yosef explains it, that since the Ritva, the Muki Yosef, that since the Tzor in the Chitim had value, it could be sold as Chitim, So here too the Marsha means, here too, since the animal that turned out to be a trefa while it was alive could have been sold in good faith as a healthy animal, that has value, that's moment, and the mazik is chayev, just like in the case of Barer Tzror. Imri Bina too makes the same point. He says, who said the Nesivus is right? Yesh k'tas l'damas to the case of Barer Tzror mitok garna shel chavero. He says, and even though you could be mechalik and say, if we learn like the Rashbam, that it's not garmi, it's hezek gomer, then we could say that hezek gomer is only shayach in the case of chitim, because the chitim are considered worth more because of the tzror. That's because you have chitim that are actually worth something. Here, where it's an animal, it turns out to be a trefa, there's no value here. There's nothing that's worth anything. It was all a mistake. However, he says, since the Rosh and other posts can say that the ikar is garmi, he says, the garmi just means that indirectly I caused you a loss. And in both cases, I caused you a loss. If it's hezek gomer, we can mechalik between chitim, he says, and behema. But if it's garmi, it's hainu hach, he says. Garmi just means I caused you a loss, because you could have gotten revenue and now you can't. So here too, he says, I could have gotten revenue and now I can't. So he's noted to say that the Nesivus is wrong and that you are chayev as a mazik for the full value of an animal that could be sold as a cheskes kshera, not for the gloy muslim afreya value of the animal as a trefa. The Bechacher, both in his Ketzer Kedoshim on Choshen Mishpat as well as in his Das Kedoshim on Yerodea, he doesn't bring the Nesivus, doesn't bring the Gemara of Barer Tzror, but he just says, someone who takes a behemoth belonging to another and shechts it, in other words, he mazik it, he kills it, it turned out it was a trefa, now it's not worth anything. He says, how much does he pay? He pays the value that it would have been when it was alive, that it could have been sold as a suffix, as a cheskes kosher, a suffix kosher. You're considered a mazik. He doesn't bring any raya, doesn't bring the nesivus, but his student, the Gedulei Hektish, says, I agree with the Ketzer Kedoshim. I agree with the Das Kedoshim that you're chayev of the full value, not the minimal value of trefa. The Nesivus is wrong, he says. And first he makes the point that we noted earlier from the fact that the earlier Achronim asked on the Rosh, why aren't you chayev of the full value of the animal? They obviously held, even though it turned out to be a trefa, we can still get you as an Arev or as a Mazik. We don't say, since it turned out to be a trefa, there's no liability. And he then brings the Raya from Barer Tzror. The same thing, he says, even though Barer Tzror is not worth, the Tzror is not worth anything, but since it's a derech to sell it, so it gets a shavius. It's like chitim. Now, then he brings, and the Nesivus himself says that buttressing his point that the cow is not worth anything when it's a trefa, even though you didn't know that, he says, let's say a person has silver. It looks like silver. Really, it's silver plated. Really, it's base metal underneath. And he could have gotten away with selling it as silver. It looks exactly like silver. And then someone is mazik that fake silver, he says. Avada, the person's not chayav, the Nesivus says. Just because you could have tricked somebody else, that doesn't mean that your forged silver is considered real, the value of silver, legabe hezek. So the Gedulei Hektish concedes that is definitely true, but it's not a raya, he says. Just because you can cheat, he says, you could be gonev das lokeach, whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew, he says, that doesn't give a real value, he says. That's cheating. And he gives another example of that. The halacha is that if someone has a shtar that was really against a non-Jew, a note, and really the note was already paid off, but the shtar wasn't collected, so in court, the Jew who holds the shtar can get away with cheating the non-Jew and collecting again. Another Jew then goes along and destroys that note, and the first Jew says, what do you mean? I was planning on cheating him and collecting again. You're a mazik. Halacha says, no, you're not a mazik, because since really that note is void and worthless, the fact that you could have cheated, that doesn't give it value. So cheating doesn't give something value. The ability to use something to cheat doesn't give the property value. But the cow, the Gedulei Hektish says, since that could be bought and sold in a normal, non-cheating way, that's derech mekach u'memkar, that's normal business, that imputes real value to it. And the Nesivus is wrong, and that's exactly like Barer Tzror, and therefore you are chayev. To round this out, this list out, we have the Chelkas Yoav 2, also says the Nesivus is Dvar of Tmuin, and he says he could have sold it to a non-Jew. And it's exactly like Barer Tzror, as he says. And then he brings the Das Kedoshim, the Gedulei Hektish. So these four major achronim, Marsham, Imre Bina, Ketzer Kedoshim, Gedulei Hektish, five Achronim, Chelkas Yoav, all disagree with the Nesivus and the Drisha. They all say that because of Barer Tzror, or Mishvara they say it, if something could have been sold, Derech Mekach U'Memkar, that is its value. The fact that it turned out to not really be worth that much doesn't make a difference. If it could have been sold in good faith, in normal business conditions, that gives it value. So the Drishan and the Siva say it does not, apparently, and these five Achronim all say that it does. Close with one last case. Rabbi Shlomo Zafrani in the Shimru Mishpat discusses a case of a fellow who had a counterfeit bill. He had a bill for $100, which was counterfeit. Someone went along and destroyed it. And the holder of the bill was Tamei Him Ladin. He said, I could have used it, I could have passed it off in the Arab Shuk, I could have cheated the Arabs, and therefore, you're mazik me. I could have gotten money for this. So Rabbi Zafrani brings the various poskim we've discussed, Machlokas Nesivas against the Chalkas Yoav and the Kesem Kedashim, the Merebina. And he says, returning to his case of the counterfeit $100 bill, he says, certainly according to the Nesivas, that even a cow, which could have been sold normally on the open market, even the cow, if it turns out it was a trefa, is really worth nothing and there's no din mazik. Certainly he would hold the same thing in this case of the counterfeit bill. But even according to the other achronim who say that the cow, the value of the cow in the context of hezek is defined as whatever it would fetch on the open market, that's only, he says, the cow, which can be sold legitimately in the course of normal mechakel memkar, that imputes value. But the case of the counterfeit bill, where you would have engaged in fraud, even if b'di'evad maybe the such fraud wouldn't be actionable lachra maisa, but since it is fraud, it's not normal mechakel memkar. Therefore, even the achronim would agree that does not give it value, and its value is really zero, even in spite of the fact that you could have passed it off as cash. And as we've seen, the Gedulei Hekdesh makes this point explicitly. That which an Asiva says, a Kesef Sigim, is not considered valuable if someone is mazik, even though you could have defrauded others. The Gedulei Hekdesh says, that's true, that's absolutely true, but it's different from the case of the cow. That's exactly the point Rabbi Zafrani is making about the counterfeit bill. The counterfeit bill is like Kesef Sigim, which everyone agrees, except possibly the Chalkas Yav, that's that everyone agrees to, and the case of the cow, though, is Machlokas. So we have three cases, to sum everything up. We have the Divrei Malkiel's case, where you could have given the bad coin back to the person who gave it to you, and he would have had to refund your outlay with real money. That case, he says, is definitely a question of Bar Tzror, except that he says in his case it was a Shogig, and it wasn't Bar Yezeka, but in general, that would be like Bar Tzror, except that we argue that maybe it would not, because it's not something which is generally valuable on the market. The Rishonim say that the difference between Davar Gar L'Mamon and Bar Tzror is that Bar Tzror, the Tzroris can be sold anywhere for Chitim, and Davar Gar L'Mamon is only something specific to your circumstances, and the General Kiel's case sounds like it was specific to his circumstances. Then we have the case of somebody who damages a cow, and the cow turns out, Mafreyat have been a trefa, but it could have been sold normally in good faith as a healthy cow, Becheskas healthy, or Suffolk healthy at least. There we have a Drishan and a Sivas who seem to say that the Mazik is not Chayev. And we have a number of other Achronim, Kesef Kedashim, the Gedulei Hekdesh, Chalkas Yoav, Marsham, and Rabina, who all say that case is like Bar Tzror. And then we have the case of the counterfeit money or the Kesef Sigim, where there the consensus seems to be that just because you could have defrauded others by passing off counterfeit bogus jewelry or bogus cash, that does not impute any value to it, and you cannot charge the mazik for the potential fraudulent revenue that you lost. One last point is that the argument made by the long list of achronim who compare killing a cow which turned out to be a trefa but was currently becheskes kshera to bar tzror is not actually such a simple analogy. We began with the Ritva who said that bar tzror only refers to commercial chitim which are destined to be sold, but chitim which were meant for personal use. There is no problem with bar tzror because he didn't cause you any hezek. On the contrary, he purified your chitim. Similarly, the cow, it should depend. If the cow was a commercial cow, it was supposed to be sold, then we can argue, since it would have been sold and I would have gotten money for it, you're a mazik, even though it turned out to be a trefa. But if the cow was my personal cow that I used to do my own work, then the Nesivus should be right. Then I didn't cause you any harm because the cow wouldn't have been worth anything anyway, and I wasn't planning on selling it. So all these achronim who argue that we should compare killing a cow which turned out to be a trefa to bar tzror, they really should distinguish l'chara between a cow which was omed l'mechira and a cow which was omed to do one's personal work.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.